With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's get ready to rumble!
He's the fastest man on the planet. He'd have got there, rabbits.
Beers, beers, and more beers. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the sucker. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
Yes, yes. Magic round done and dusted. Peter Volandi saved me nearly $1,200 in flights, accommodation, tickets to go watch that debacle of a round. And the man that I'm joined by on the line, I was going to go watch it with him. But yeah, Joe, mate, glad that I didn't go.
Yeah, me too, mate. Save some money. Not a very entertaining weekend at all. Very frustrating for pretty much everybody involved. How'd you feel about the weekend?
Mate, frustrating for fans, frustrating for coaches, frustrating for officials, players as well. A lot of people are going to be putting the finger at the officials this weekend, but I think the issue comes from higher up, mate. So I don't think the ref bashing is warranted this week. But in terms of Supercoach, I think a lot of people were hanging out for their captain in the last game of the round. Nathan Cleary will scratch the surface quickly, but a new Supercoach record, 200, and I think it's 46. Yeah, simply incredible from Cleary. Blows the record out of the water, set by Cody Walker of 203. And mate, I didn't captain him. You didn't captain him. It was a tough watching that, wasn't it?
Oh, big time. I mean, I woke up this morning. I didn't captain Chomp Trbojevic. I still had my captaincy open. Looked at today's games and I sort of thought about Isaiah Papali'i, obviously versing his old team in the Warriors. I thought Eels probably put a bit of a number on him. Put the captaincy on Isaiah Papali'i, which is incredibly painful to say. I think he went for 46, and then sitting there and watching the Panthers. I go, as everybody knows, I'm a massive Panthers fan, and I was in pain watching that game. I did not enjoy that very much at all. A few calls there that were just terrible, and obviously watching Cleary pop off for the record, not having captain on him when pretty much everybody I know did. Very sad.
The whisper of curse lives on, mate. I brought Papali'i in this week, and I ruined it for everyone, so... that lives on. Mate, like I said, I bought him into it. It wasn't fantastic, but Cleary didn't captain him. Posted on my Facebook that I thought I was an absolute genius when I captained Tedesco and he popped off. And yeah, Cleary made us look like fools. I said in my captain's preview during the week that I wasn't a huge fan of Cleary this week for captain because statistically the Titans only conceded about 53 points to halves and Cleary scored that in about the first 7 minutes and it was all downhill from that, mate. But I guess the people are here to hear about the roundup and first game of the week, I'm very happy to be after this. The Tigers, Mike McGuire, coach of the year, 36, defeating the Newcastle Knights, who are hopeless without Calen Ponga and Mitchell Pearce, 18. I guess the talking points in this, Adam Dewey, even though he shifted to centre, still pumped out 114. You and I talked about him a couple of weeks ago, and I was ready to pull the trigger, but named it centre this week, but didn't really seem to face him, did it?
No, not at all. And I think it had a lot to do with the competition that he's facing. Newcastle looked absolutely dreadful. Obviously, the new rules in place this round has just flipped everything on its head. So you can't really, you don't really know what to expect. I think Adam Dewey's just the kind of bloke that's eyes up footy, and we really saw the result of that.
Mate, I've been calling Adam Dewey the poor man's Jack Whiten for about 4 weeks now. Are we happy to reverse that? Is Jack Whiten the poor man's Adam Dewey?
Oh, it's certainly looking that way at the moment. Raiders were absolutely awful this week as well, weren't they? Far out.
Yeah, it's scraped by there. Apart from Adam Dewey, mate, Luke Brooks with a 78, Tommy Talau with a 74, James Tamer with a 57. That's about all to talk about from the Tigers. Tyson Frizzell-Liners was sweating it until some junk time right at the end, thanks to Connor Watson. He pumped out a 73. I think he was on about 40 odd until that try, so that helped. My pick for New South Wales number 9, Jaden Brayley with a 72. Mate, I'm pretty happy to say he's the buy of the year. Would you agree?
Oh, he's certainly up there. I mean, he's looked consistent every single week. Keeps pumping out these big scores. I think that try at the end of the game seemed to help Jaden Brayley there. Jesus Christ, I almost had a stroke. Really seemed to help himself there. Towards the end, his score was not looking good after the first, 50 minutes or so. But yeah, always seems to put up those big scores.
Yeah, I mean, I think we picked him up for about 240K at the start of the year. And he's looked like a borderline keeper all season, mixed in with Harry Grant or Reid Marnie. Connor Watson was the one that fed that ball to Tyson Frizzell. Some junk time points for him. This Bradman Best experiment, not going the way Newcastle wanted to. He's their best attack outside of Kalen Ponga, but shifting him to the wing, I didn't really understand that. Mate, what did you make of that?
Yeah, we're not really seeing Bradman's best at the moment, but we're not really seeing Newcastle's best at the moment either. They sort of look in all sorts. Their spine has obviously been juggled all season, and a bit of unrest there with a few players, I think, as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes with Newcastle in the next couple of weeks and through the Origin period.
I've said it to you off camera, mate, and I've said it to plenty of people that have messaged me. I think Mitchell Pearce goes slept on continually. I understand they're missing Kalen Ponga, but even with him back, they looked without Pearce, they looked struggling. So yeah, not too sure where to go for the Knights here. There's plenty of teams pushing them for that top eight spot, and if they don't get their act together, yeah, I do feel sorry for Adam O'Brien a little bit just because of the fact that he's not working with much, and he came into a club that was destined for failure with the three back-to-back spoons, and they've just got to change that culture around. Some culture that needs changing, and it looks to be changing with the signing of Adam Reynolds. The Broncos went down 50-6 against Manly Seagulls. I thought the Broncos had put up a bit more of a fight for Magic Round, mate.
Yeah, look, I wasn't convinced. We touched on this throughout the pods last week and then in our direct messages with one another. I always sort of thought Manly was going to go out there and put a pretty big number on Brisbane. I could completely see where you're coming from there, obviously up in Suncorp, opening up the Magic weekend. But look, Broncos just looking all sorts. I still think that their team, there's just so much unrest in there. And obviously, again, new rules really affected them as well, having two in the sin bin at the same time. And from there, they just never recovered.
I made a joke in one of my group chats after the first game. And I was like, haha, do you reckon we'll see more than 15 send-offs this week? As a joke. And then that turned out to be pretty bang on. Look, some of them were warranted. I understand the Fui Maiona one. He should have been sent straight with the hit on Pappy. Like, I get that. The Josh Papali one, I can understand that a little bit, like shoulder to the direct head. But some of those sending-offs, I think it needs to be looked at. And yeah, I mean, it's just going to drive people away from the game. But you don't even have to look at the score for this Manly game to look at the Broncos' output. I mean, Jermaine Asako, top scorer, with a 61. Herbie Farmworth with a 60. And then no one else got above that. Payne Haas and Matt Lodge, 52 apiece. Kind of says the tale. Whereas for Manly, you've got three guys over 100, two over 90. Tom Trbojevic with a 119. Daly Cherry-Evans, who I think was best on ground with an 100. Jason Saab with 100 as well. Marty DePauw with 94 and Ruben Garrett with 92, mate. Manly are humming.
Oh, certainly. I mean, to be fair, coming up against Brisbane and putting up a score of 50, you've got to be looking at some massive scores there. Their attack looks incredible, though. The biggest thing, though, for Manly is it's going to be interesting to see how their defence comes together. Last week, they obviously beat New Zealand there, but Tom Trbojevic was at his absolute best, and they were still fairly competitive throughout the game and put up a fair few points against Manly. So I think if they can get their defence up there with their attack, then they're going to be a top four team, in my opinion, with Tommy Turbo and that side.
Yeah, speaking on defense, mate, like it's entertaining for teams to score 8, 9, 10 tries a game. Like, that's great. But 50-6, there's just no real enthusiasm to watch that from a fan's point of view, is there?
Oh, absolutely. And it goes like pretty much with all the games this week. You know, you never know who's going to get sent off. And if somebody gets sent off and not sin bin, like they actually get sent off, the game's a bit of a wash from there, isn't it? Like, we saw that with the Panthers and the Titans. Whilst Penrith, I have no doubt, would have got the result anyways, it just ruined that game. Like, for the rest of the game, you knew what was going to happen. And yeah, look, this whole weekend, I think, was just, there's something bigger at play. I think they were trying to rule out things and they'll sort of iron everything out this week and make it a little less severe and a little less savage like they have this week. But something's got to give. This week was absolutely terrible.
Yeah, look, I understand all about protecting player welfare, and I think we have to give the NRL an inch to make a mile here. I think it's going to get better, but yeah, it's not entertaining. You look at the Storm Dragons game, like that. The Dragons were competitive until halftime, and then just the disadvantage of having one man down really blew them out of the water. But I think the thing with Manly is the fact that like both their edges of the field were humming. Like, you've got Ruben Garrick, who scored a 92, Jason Saab, who scored 100. It's not just going down one side of the field like someone like a Panthers or Rabbitohs are. Like, they're clicking on both fronts. And apart from that defense, man, I think they're a very, very scary side to look at. And it just goes to show you how crucial that Turbo is for Origin and for Manly as well. Like, he just has such an impact on the game. 18-20, the Raiders the Raiders just get the job done against the Bulldogs in a very, very dull affair, wasn't it, mate?
Oh, absolutely. And Trent Barrett's face was absolutely classic towards the end of that game. Fair dinkum. It wasn't a good performance by either side. And like, obviously Ricky Stewart would have been fairly happy to get the win there and very relieved to get the win. But at the end of the day, neither side would be real happy with that result, I don't imagine.
Yeah, look, this Magic round was a tough watch. And this was one of the games. If I didn't have to make content, I probably wouldn't have watched today's footy, just because, yeah, just the writing on the wall with all these rule changes. We'll harp on it, but yeah, the Josh Papali sending off, it didn't derail the Raiders. It really boosted them. When they went a man down, they sort of rallied back, and Caleb Aikens put on a nice performance at fullback. He scored an 81, Curtis Scott with a 72, George Williams with a 68. But apart from that, it's just one of those games where not much happened. And yeah, there's very, very little to talk about with this game. Luke Thompson with a 69, we're telling Zalesniak with a 64, but I think the problem with trying to review games like this is there's very little Supercoach relevant players in either side. But yeah, it's a tough watch for this game. Like, both clubs are struggling. I feel like Raiders on paper are a top four side, and I had them coming fourth in my preseason ladder. But yeah, there's very little to talk about here. The Bulldogs, we've said it every week, mate. They're just rebuilding for next year, aren't they?
Yeah, only person on the Bulldogs side, like only player on Bulldogs side that's worth a look is Luke Thompson. He's going to go out there and get you between 60 and 70 every single week. But yeah, very dull affair. And I know I keep harping on about obviously everything that we've seen this weekend, but why would you choose it to be on Magic Round? Like, this is the center stage for your regular season that's outside of State of Origin and the finals. Like, why would you decide to bring in these rule changes when you've got all the eyes on you? It's supposed to be a celebration of the game. All the fans are getting involved. And you just go and change it. Like, it's just, it doesn't make any sense at all. And again, it affected a game like this, which would have already been probably a pretty dull affair anyways. It just made it even duller.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you're gonna change the rules, I get that, but maybe not on your marquee weekend for footy. But yeah, we live and learn, we move on. The Sharks go down 22 to the Rabbitohs 32. I think Wayne Bennett will be happy to get the result here. In the scrappy game where the Rabbitohs sort of let the Sharks come back, top scored by Will Kennedy with an 80, who continues to sort of pump out great output. If Will Kennedy was any other position other than fullback in Supercoach, I think people would snap him up. But the fact that that position is so stacked. Maween Haroti with a 73, the Chad with a 71, Nakora with a 68 rounds out everyone over 60. As for the Sharks, mate, where do you see them heading?
Look, Sharks look like they're reeling from the whole John Morris saga. We've obviously talked about this earlier as well, but nobody looks enthused. I think their senior players look over it. The younger players look frustrated with the older players and everything that's happening. And you see players like Will Kennedy out there busting his ass every week. And some of these older players out there, they look a little bit short. And the team looks just dysfunctional at the moment. I think it's a bit of a rebuilding year this year. And then next year when Craig Fitzgibbon comes in, things will start to change for the Sharkies. But look, I can't imagine they're going to be extremely relevant throughout 2021.
Mate, fuck the Sharks Supercoach team. Can we just talk about the fact that Viliami Kikau suited up and played for them as well?
Yeah, apparently. So I've been hearing. Looks like he's ordered off Wish.
What about a chop from Fifita? Jesus Christ. That's I think Kikau can pull it off, but it just looked out of place on Fifita.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look, but man, Fifita is so fit at the moment, isn't he? Look, he's dropped so much weight. I know, obviously, we touched on that throughout the preseason as well, but that being his first grade game, seeing him up on the big screen, he's dropped a ton of weight.
He does. He looks very lean, which is good for him, because I think he was told to retire by John Morris, and obviously he's proved him wrong a little bit there. So, look, I think his best days are behind him, obviously, but he can still provide some kind of senior influence to the Shark side, and hopefully they can keep him around. I don't think he's a starter anymore, but he could definitely provide some spark off the bench for 25, 30 minutes a game. Damien Cook. Sorry, mate, you go.
I was going to say, how good was my call with Adam Reynolds not playing on the weekend? That went down a treat,
like,
didn't it?
Supersonic. Like, he was out for, suspected to be out for like up to 6 weeks, and superhuman by him to come back for this game.
Yeah, fuck, mate. Made me look like a right fool. I just thought, like, apparently out for 4 to 6 weeks, fractured thumb or dislocated thumb. And thinking Adam Reynolds being the kind of player that he is, seems to always get these random injuries. I thought, no way they're going to risk him against the Sharks, and he suits up. Now, did not expect it at all, but really good game by Benji there. Obviously, Damien Cook had a really good game too. Jai Arrow got that meat pie there with an 83.
Our favourite player.
Yeah, I know.
Our favourite, big Jai Arrow crossed the line.
Talk about another play that we've been putting shit on, and he goes out there and serves us. But yeah, look, Jai Arrow, if Jai Arrow was starting, and he had a few more minutes, I'd probably pick him up, to be honest. He's looked really good this year. But yeah, Benji, again, just the star. Those try assists that he's putting on, he looks like he's in 2005 again.
Yeah, that ball to AJ on the wing there was phenomenal. But look, how much of a different side do South look with Reynolds in there?
Oh, massively. It's like any team in the NRL at the moment. All the good teams have a good halfback, and all the teams that are struggling don't really have their halves set. And you can literally look at so many examples of that throughout the league. But Adam Reynolds and the Rabbitohs is such a good example of it. They just look shot to bits when he's not there.
I mean, Keon Kulamatangi on that left edge is looking pretty lethal as well. He pumped out a 70 this weekend and had a couple of good scores in recent weeks. Cody Walker with a 71. I'm pretty sure they get Latrell back next week. I think he would have served his suspension as well. But Damien Cook top scored this game, 88. About time Cookie did something. Struggling for form in Supercoach and people that held him this long. Then, yeah, it's great to have a good score, but I'd be cutting ties with Cookie. Myself, personally, you've touched on the two halves there. Apart from that, there wasn't much to talk about. I was expecting a Dane Gagai masterclass, but it just looks like they're going to go to AJ more than Gagai. So it's great. I was selling him next week anyway, but definitely after that game when I thought he had a pretty favorable matchup. The Roosters get the job done against the Cowboys, and this is where I thought I was a wizard. 119 from Sesko, 110 from Crichton. Good to see him bounce back. Another guy that I'm very, very, very keen on, Daniel Tupou with a 92. Were you happy with the Roosters' performance, mate, in a grind-out effort? I mean, I think Lachie Lamb's going pretty underappreciated as well.
Oh, for sure. Lachie Lamb had a really, really good game. Sammy Walker had a really good first half there. You can tell he's struggling as well with those injuries. But look, I still have TKO on my team. His new name is Trapiaho.
You were pretty happy with that one when you told me it, weren't you?
Yeah, I was very, very big on Trapiaho. Look, I'm going to keep using it until he gets up at, like, some scores above 50 again. But 24, just absolutely shocking. I had Paseka not playing on my bench this week as well, who ended with, I think, a 59 or something. So very sad days for Joey Boy. This week, I was so confident going into this week, thought I'd absolutely kill it, and I am reeling.
Yeah, mate. Are we going to give any merit to Victor Radley? Like, is he worth picking up if he's going to continue being that direct ball player through the middle third? I mean, he picked up an 84 in the weekend. That was with some attacking stats, but we kind of expect those from Radley, don't we?
Oh, for sure. And he's got the Broncos and the Raiders coming up as well. He's sitting, what's he sitting at the moment? The 300K, 349K.
349K with a 69 break even this week. He's scored 84. So I would imagine he's around that 360K, mate, 365.
I'm pretty big on Victor Adley for that. For that price, if you've still got somebody like a Jordan Rickey, it should be a pretty easy swap.
Ryan James as well, another one that we didn't touch on in the Raiders game, but Ricky Stewart's just not using him the way we want him to.
Yeah, and that's something that we've touched on again as well. Just players that are playing, or forwards that are playing for the Raiders and not knowing their minutes. There's just too much inconsistency.
You touched on Sammy Walker, mate. He is struggling with injury. I think we have him one more week and then we shift him on to someone else to cover around 13. He's done his job. He's made some fantastic cash, but the inconsistencies is probably too much to have with the cash that he's going to generate. Brett Morris 2.0, Matt Ikavali with a 67. If you guys picked him up a couple of weeks ago when we touched on him, you've reaped the rewards. I think he had 100 last week, 67 this week. Pretty great stuff. Yeah, Lachie Lamb with a 75. I'm not a draft podcast by any means, but if he's on your waiver wire in the drafts, I'd definitely be looking at picking him up to fill in a hooker void if you have that there. As for the Dragons, as for the Cowboys, mate, Drinkwater with 105, Reece Robson with a 76, Val Holmes with a 63, and that's about it. I mean, Javid Bowen with a 58, but no one else above 50, and that's Tamalolo as well. We did say wait on Tamalolo to see if his input comes back, and it didn't. So pretty happy we held off there, mate. Look, are we putting the line through Tamalolo after one good week, or is it still another wait and see?
I think Tamalolo is one that you're just going to keep your eye on throughout the season. If he gets down to a certain price, like we've seen Junior Paulo fall down to the near sort of 400Ks, I think if you could get Tamalolo something around there, I'd probably jump on him and take a punt again. Sort of situational, wherever you're sitting on the ladder and what you're chasing, if you're going for head-to-heads or you are going for the overall. But at the moment, he's just not performing, is he? We touched on it last week. We thought against the Broncos, he was going to put in a big performance and we're right. And then this week he's come out and he's versed a tough opposition in the Roosters and just hasn't performed.
Now, we touched on selling Sam Walker before then, mate, and there isn't many halves to sort of fill the void with. But one man who is playing great footy right now and Regal Campbell-Gillard hit the nail on the head here. He said Mitch Moses is playing with an old head. And that's exactly what he's doing. Like, he's just become a much more mature footballer, putting away that sort of highlight reel footy that we're known for him, but consistently pumping out some good footy on the eye and putting out some good Supercoach scores. Put out a 99 on the weekend, mate. So Walker to Moses could be definitely on the cards.
Oh, definitely. I think it's out of him or Jerome Hughes, or you could even look at somebody like a Georgie Williams. But look, Mitchell Moses has come leaps and bounds over the last 2 years, hasn't he? He's come from that erratic sort of football player that you're not quite sure if he's a 5'8 or a halfback. He sort of played like as if he was a 5'8, but was always in that halfback position, and now he's just become a pure halfback, controls that team, and the Eels are really benefiting from that. You can see the forwards are benefiting from it as well. Regan Campbell-Gillard had an absolute ripper today.
Yeah, bursting through the middle, two tries for Regan Campbell-Gillard. He scored a 90, but back to Moses, mate. No surprise he's working with Joey Johns and has become a much more composed footy player. There's probably no one better to really control you. You were touched on him not being a 5'8 or a halfback, and in recent years, that's been fantastic for super coaches because he's been able to put on those highlight reel plays, but these performances are few and far between, but if you can string them together, we could definitely put him back in that same breath as probably the best halfback that isn't named Nathan Cleary. Ryan Madison scored a try for himself and then butchered one to Blake Ferguson. He scored a 68. Reid Marnie with a 66, thanks to that try assist. Nathan Brown with a try got to a 61. Mike Acevo continues to be a handful for opposition wingers. Just ran over the top of, I think it was Rocco Berry. And look, he did everything he could, but he couldn't stop Acevo. Jacob Arthur. I was really happy with him on debut, mate. I think he looked good. Like, he scored a try, which helped his Supercoach score, but just on the eye test, didn't think he put a foot wrong and helped control that left side of the field.
Yeah, I think he really complimented Moses' game as well. You could tell that Moses was the dominant half and he really looked like he knew it. I think there's been a bit of a dynamic or a power dynamic between Dylan Brown and Mitchell Moses over the last year, because obviously Dylan Brown really burst onto the scene last year. Not saying that that Arthur's going to take Brown's position at all, but I really like the way that they look together. Obviously, Moses had that massive score today and Arthur just got to pick his times and go in and sort of choose when he was inserting himself into the game. And yeah, he had a really tidy game.
You hit the nail on the head there, mate. If Brown wants to go off and be the leader of a team, he's definitely capable of doing it, but he's probably not going to be that at Parramatta. And if he does go, you've got a fantastic replacement here in Jake Arthur that only a couple of years ago, we were hearing reports of him lapping first grade teams in preseason, like time trials. And it's great to see that he gained some footy. Clint Gutherson with a 55. I mean, I was really happy with this based on some head-to-head matchups, but I wouldn't say he wasn't involved, but he just wasn't having that final impact on plays that he wanted. Look, Blake Ferguson, the week that Wanga Blake comes back, his score dips, but did bomb a try himself. But old no pass Blake's back again, isn't he?
Yeah, Walker Blake, yeah, mate, he's done it again, hasn't he? He looks exactly like he did last year when Blake Ferguson was out there and had probably his worst season of his career. But what do you think happens when what's his name? Sorry, Nikore, is that it?
Yeah, Nikore. Like, I don't know. Like, when he comes back, if it was me, I'd definitely be dropping Wanga Blake because he's a cancer to the left side of the field. But then again, Ryan Madison also doesn't have a pass button either.
I'd be interested to see Walker Blake on the wing. I think he has about two brain cells. Yeah, for sure. I think he doesn't seem like the most intelligent bloke I've ever seen. So it'd be interesting to see how he'd sort of make reads on the defensive side of being a winger. But in terms of him not having to pass, that's probably the one position that you could chuck him in and not have to worry about it.
I actually wouldn't mind him on the wing, to be honest, like in that CV mode, like we said, because he can just run over the top of defenders and he's got a big enough body and an athletic enough frame. But yeah, I think his defensive IQ is a bit poor and attacking IQ is obviously not fantastic for the people outside of him. The Warriors, mate, as a Queensland fan, it's exciting to see Reece Walsh carve it up.
He's absolutely killing it, isn't he? Mate, between him and Sammy Walker, imagine being a Broncos fan and sitting there and watching these two blokes absolutely kill it and just looking at their team. Like, look at the money that you've just thrown at somebody like an Adam Reynolds. And while I understand why you've done it.
Yeah, that's not just a footy move. I think that's going to try and help that club moving forward. But I definitely understand what you mean.
For sure. And like, what would have helped your club move forward would be investing in those two blokes with that money. You could have literally split that money in half and given it to those two blokes and they probably would have stayed. Like, it doesn't make much sense, does it?
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, it's exciting times. I mean, 5 years or so. I'm not saying that he'll... I'm not saying that he'll do it, but if Cam Munster has a dip in form over the next 5 years or so, could definitely see Ponga at fullback, Walsh, Walker at 6 and 7 and Grant at 9. And that's a scary, scary spine for Queensland moving forward.
See Walsh taking the fullback position from Ponga 100%. Ponga is fantastic in attack. Yeah, Ponga is fantastic in attack, but his last line of defense is absolutely shocking. It's terrible. And I think Walsh looks like he's got the capabilities in attack that Ponga does. So over the next couple of years, those two rivaling over that jumper is going to be very interesting.
It's a fantastic pickup. And hopefully Walsh is available at center wing next year. As well as fullback. Otherwise, that's going to be detrimental to us. People are going to look at Jazz Tavanga starting and see him pump out 68 and think, oh, wow, maybe he's a pickup. But I think he had a try assist and two line break assists. So that's 30 points or so in their attacking stats. I wouldn't be going near Jazz. Tohu Harris with the 64. I mean, that's kind of what we expect from Tohu, isn't it? Week in, week out. Another one of those Luke Thompson mold players that is just utterly consistent. Bailey Serenin with a 64 as well. Ken Mamalo with a 64. Ben Menok-Masila grabbed a try for a 61. Josh Curran bagged a try for a 61. Apart from that, there isn't much else to talk about. I think someone that's going to go really underappreciated this game was Shanil Harris-Devito. Him in defense and attack, I think he provides a lot for this side that goes unnoticed when you've got Cody Nikorima as your other half.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Yeah, definitely. And between him and Nikorima, they're just explosive, aren't they? Obviously, Nikorima's been killing it this year, and I don't know exactly what he's averaging, but it's right up there. I think he might be in the top four, 5'8 halfbacks. But yeah, mate, between the two of them, over the next couple of years, if they can develop those two and then bring in Reece Walsh, the Warriors have got a really good future ahead of them, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. But the problem is, how do you use Reece Walsh effectively with also having RTS in your side? And they experimented with RTS on the wing a little bit and then moved to the centers. But Corey Parker said something during the broadcast of today's game, and he suggested that they play RTS in sort of a middle third, more of that roaming 13 role. And I couldn't think of anything better and anything worse for defenders. Can you imagine RTS coming at you in the 60th minute when you're off your feet and him just using that footwork later the line?
Yeah, for sure. And it would just all come down to his defense, wouldn't it? I think in attack, we know what you'd get, and he would be absolutely explosive. But do you think he could hold up for, you know, in 60, 80 minutes throughout the game playing in the 13 in defense? Like,
you'd probably be able to hide him. You could probably shift him out. I mean, Ewan Aiken's a fantastic defender. So you could shift RTS out to the centers and bring Ewan Aiken closer to the middle, because he's very solid there as well. So I think if you wanted to really show off RTS's attacking prowess, yeah, definitely have him as a roaming 13, similar to a Tyrone Peachy. But don't make him defend as much as Peachy does. But like, Corey Parker doesn't talk a lot of sense, but that really, I was really, really enticed by that.
What do you think of putting Nikorima up to the 9 and then having Reece Walsh into the 6?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a bit harsh on Wade Egan, because I don't think he's done anything wrong. He just doesn't excite me as a footballer, but I think he's very solid. But yeah, you could definitely interchange them, similar to what the Broncos do with Jake Turpin and Denny Levi. I mean, Denny Levi comes on and provides a lot more spark. So you could probably have, Egan there for the first half an hour, just to really sort of lock down the defensive side of things. And then if you need a spark either side of halftime, put Nikorima at 9. I could definitely see that happening.
Yeah, for sure. I think that would be a way to go ahead and sort of keep everybody. You keep RTS in the fullback position. You know, he's top 3 fullback in the comp. So bringing Reece Walsh into the 5'8", I think it would just bring so much more attack. Nikorima into the 9 would be interesting.
Yeah, but you hear all these things about young players and how good they are, and they get to first grade and maybe fall to under the lights. But we heard so many good things about Sam Walker. We heard so many things about Reece Walsh, and both those boys have killed it. And yeah, moved away from their junior clubs. But people that whinge about people leaving, like talent leaving, I don't think the Broncos did enough to keep those boys around, and definitely no begrudging them for leaving.
Oh, for sure. They definitely gave them the punt. Like, they have nobody to blame but themselves.
I mean, they gave them the punt, and then they had, like, fair enough. Like, if you're going to give them the punt, that's cool, because you've got Tom Dearden there, like, who you can mold into your next half, which is fine. But then they gave Dearden the punt, and that, yeah, not that it didn't sit well with me, but I can understand why someone like Xavier Coates would leave. He's just like, oh, well, all this young talent around me is going and thriving on. Like, do you think that played a role in Coates's departure? Like, seeing Sam Walker thrive outside of the Broncos and seeing Walsh thrive outside of the Broncos?
Man, if you have the choice of staying in the circus that is the Brisbane Broncos and the absolute roller coaster that's their club at the moment with no culture, or going down to Melbourne and playing with arguably the best culture and one of the teams that just seems to have all the structure in the world, as a young player who has the potential to be one of the best wingers the game's ever seen, it's a very easy choice, isn't it?
Well, like as a footy player, and like money's fantastic, don't get me wrong, but Coates is still so young. He's got plenty of time to make cash. If the Broncos offered me like 500K a year for like 4 years, or the Storm offered me like 300K for 2 years, I'd definitely take the Storm offer, because you can develop into a much better footy player. Like look at plenty of players that have thrived in a system at the Melbourne Storm and gotten paid a fortune when they've left. If Jerome Hughes ever left, he'd get paid a fortune. Don't get me wrong, I think he's a good halfback, but I think that Melbourne Storm system makes him better. So don't begrudge Xavier Coates one bit for trying to develop his future. But I think it's just a state of where the Broncos are at, unfortunately, for now. And they've got to pay overs for these older stars to try and rebuild some kind of aura. And I think the Adam Reynolds signing is fantastic. I just don't think it's going to solve the issues that they've got in the culture side of things. And I know you touched on that pretty heavily about how there's issues going on in the background of Brisbane.
Oh, definitely. And that's it. The Broncos thing isn't just going to be swept away. I look at Adam Reynolds and it can go one of two ways, can't it? He can come in and change the culture and sort of bring young players in and bring, you know, more talent in with him. Or it can go the way that he gets it, picks up an injury, comes back for a couple of games, picks up another injury, and then they've got a, you know, in 700K sort of a year dent in their salary cap with the player not playing, the ups and downs. They don't have the best of sort of halfbacks playing for the rest of the season. So it is a little bit concerning. And I think when you had those players that you've let go of, it just, yeah, it must hurt to be a Broncos fan.
Speaking of young talent, the Broncos looking to hoover up, probably the best player in the NRL that isn't in their side's best 17, Nicho Hynes, 159. Look, hopefully Pappy is okay. Terrible to see what happened to him. He's up talking, up walking around. So that's fantastic. But Nicho Hynes thrived, didn't he, mate? It was his afternoon. Unfortunately, upstaged by someone else later in the night, but 159 for Nicho Hynes is definitely nothing to be stiffed at.
He literally looks like Billy Slater as well. He looks like Billy Slater with long curly hair, but he absolutely killed it today, didn't he? He had the last touch on everything. I brought Jerome Hughes in this week for Sam Walker, so I was very focused on this game to see how it all unfold. Really thought Jerome Hughes was going to go out there and put his sort of mark on this game, but it turns out that it was the Nicho Hynes game. He did exactly what I thought Jerome Hughes was going to do, be the last touch and everything, either scoring the try himself or passing it on for the try. He looked incredible this afternoon, didn't he?
Yeah, we'll touch on the other scores quickly, but I wanted to go over this Nicho Hynes dilemma. What happens with him for the rest of the year? Is Munster and Pappenhausen, they're obviously too good to leave out of the side, so they lock down the one and the six, but do you find a way for Nicho Hynes, or is there just nowhere in that side that he gets in?
I guess it depends, man. Like over Origin, it's super interesting, is it? Why would you rush a Munster back in or a Pappenhausen if they do play Origin? Just rest him over this entire period and play somebody like a Nicho Hynes. Like, he's not going to be there next year anyway. So if he picks up an injury, I know that sounds super harsh, but if he picks up an injury, so be it. He's going to be on with a different club. He's incredibly talented and you've got him for this year. You might as well use him. Like, you're not losing all that much.
That's the thing though, mate. Like, he could still be a Storm player next year. He's just off contract. No one's signed him. No one's done nothing. But do you think you're wasting him playing him in the Matt Burton role, just shifting him into the centre? Because on the left side, they pick themselves. Addo Carr and Justin Olam, they're not going anywhere. But on the right side, you've got Remus Smith and I think it's George Jennings. What? Do you experiment with the idea of playing Hynes on that right centre?
I mean, potentially. I'd probably push Remus Smith out onto the wing if that was the case. But how long's Brinko Lee out for? He's got a couple of weeks away, isn't he? He'd surely come back into this side. And
I don't know, man. He's signed to go to the Broncos, and maybe Bellamy's not keen to play him.
That's true. Well, I mean, Nicho Hynes, I feel, is the kind of player that is probably sitting there. His agent's probably said to him, like, look, you're going to get some time over this year. The only thing that's going to happen when you're that talented and you're in that good of a side is you're going to perform and you're going to make more money on your contract. So I'd imagine that he's just sort of holding out for that at the moment. But he's super, super talented, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of teams sniffing around.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be a Storm player next year, but just curious as to if the Storm try and do force him into that centre mould to make him stay, because unfortunately he's not going to get a jersey in the one or the six anytime soon unless this new Brisbane side starts up and Munster does go like reported. That's not going to be for another 2 or 3 years. But that left side, mate, we talked on Addo Carr departing for the Bulldogs next year. It'll be a great signing for the Bulldogs. I don't think that's going to fix their issues. But for the Storm side, mate, I think he has nine tries in 2 weeks, something ridiculous. Mate, I haven't scored 9 tries in my life, let alone 2 weeks. And he pumped out 111. Kay Brom with an 83. Olam, we touched on him, mate. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the comp with a 74. Your mate Jerome Hughes with a 69, Big Nelson bagged a try for a 64, and Remus with a 63. But Melbourne, they looked, I wouldn't say out of it, but they were playing against 12 men in that first half and couldn't put the Dragons away. Is that a testament to the Dragons, or do you think the Storm were just not clicking?
I think when you have a team that goes down a player and it's 12-13, it's in all of the players' heads out there. And for the team that has 12 players, it can really sort of gel a team together and sort of make them work harder for one another. And on the opposite end for the Storm, it can really get in their head that they're finding it hard to attack. And that's sort of what it looked like. It looked like they were getting really frustrated that they couldn't get those points on the board. And then all of a sudden it just sort of broke open, didn't it? And then from there, it just sort of, the floodgates opened and the Dragons looked rattled. I think they just ran out of gas, to be honest. I think they put all their effort into the first, 10-15 minutes after Tyrell got sent off, and after that they were just Gonski.
Now, you touched on Tyrell, mate. -9, one of the worst scores. If you decided to loop Cleary or not Cleary, if you decided to loop Turbo or Tedesco or whoever, if you've held Tyrell, that was your AA, and it's not pretty to look at.
Mikhaili I'm surprised Ravalawa, I didn't captain him, mate.
Mate, the way you and I have been going, mate, I'm surprised we didn't. Mikhaili Ravalawa quietly went about his way and got 124, which baffled me. I know he scored a couple of tries, but I didn't think he did much else. Josh Kerr, the 76. And the man that suffered an AC joint, who I was looking at as a pod move, Matt Dufty, he's out. How do we see the Dragons reshuffling? Because we know that Jack Bird went back to fullback today, but isn't Cody Ramsey naturally a fullback?
Yeah, well, I'd say that Cody Ramsey will probably get first crack, but I guess it depends how far Zach Lomax is away. If he's still, well, I mean, originally, what was it, 4 to 6 weeks? But if he pulls the old Adam Reynolds and he comes back next week, you'd imagine he'd go into fullback. But look, they've got a few outside backs there, and I think you're probably not going to find they're going to have a specialist fullback by any means. It'll just be one of the young guys covering, so it could be a bunch of different players at this point.
I only ask because Max Fiago really intrigues me now, because if Ramsey goes back to fullback or Bird goes back to fullback, that's probably going to allow Fiago to play his natural position, which is center. And we know when he got big minutes in the last 2 weeks, he put on a pretty good base score. So he's one I'm probably going to be looking at as well for Dane Gagai, the swap. He'll play around 13, but it's interesting to see how Hook Griffin is going to use them with that fullback mold. But Jack Bird didn't score fantastically on Supercoach today, only 41, but he's playing some of the best 40 of his career in a position where you and I both didn't think he'd fit in the centres.
He just looks confident again, doesn't he? He looks like, I feel like when you sort of saw him at the start of the season, yeah, he looked good, but he looked like he was still sort of coming into his own and figuring himself out. But he looks full of confidence now. He knows that he's the star of this team, or he knows he can at least be a star in this game. So look, I think over the next couple of weeks, he's really going to be putting his hand up, especially if they do have a few players out. It'd be interesting to see if he went back to fullback. That's another one that we could be looking at as well. And if he does, he could definitely be a purchase.
Yeah, I mean, he showed he's got the ball playing skills, and he's a big enough body to tackle and run at the line. So I wouldn't hate it. Mate, I'm going to let you lead off this last game. The Titans 12, the Panthers 48. There's one name to talk about, one name only. I'm going to let you go with it, mate.
Big Nathan Cleary, mate. 2-4-6. The new record holder, 246, absolutely smashed the old score out of the park by, 43 points?
Yeah, 203.
An absolutely massive night. He looked on from the get-go. Look, Titans lost that player at the start of the game. Who was it? S-A-S-A. Mate, absolute goose.
Big Herman.
To be fair, how do you justify that? Like, offside, intentional, like, it was not a good look at all. Like, that... Insane. Like, I know we've talked about all the sin bins and everything this podcast, but there were so many bad hits this week as well. It was just such a bad week for this rule to come in, and yeah, just all combined. Anyways, kind of ruined that game. But the fact is that Nathan Cleary went out there and fucking torched the Gold Coast Titans. Three tries. I don't know how many try assists. There's probably three in there as well. Just absolutely brained it, mate. Absolutely brained it. Dylan Edwards, I thought, was incredibly good tonight as well. Him and Isaiah Yeo are just feeding off Nathan Cleary.
I don't know how much we take NRL Supercoachlive.com for Bible, because they have been wrong in certain times, but they have him updating with 16 more points. They have a missed try contribution, which is 4 points, and a missed try assist, which is 12 points. So that would take him to 266 points, which would be phenomenal. Either way, the record was broken with 20 minutes left. Downgrades aren't going to stop this one like they did with Pappy or whatnot, but yeah, the record's broken. I didn't think it had come from Cleary, to be honest. With the scores we've seen from some of the outside backs and fullbacks, I thought definitely be one of those. But, mate, my key head-to-head matchup, it was Charlie Staines and 50 points versus Luai and To'o. And that Titans right-side defense is leaky, and I thought I was in for all money. But it was the Cleary and Staines show, and Dylan Edwards as well. He had two try assists, a line break assist as well. He could be a pretty interesting prospect over Origin.
Oh, definitely. Dylan Edwards, mate, has improved out of sight over the last 2 years. I think it was 2019, Panthers were versing the Storm in about round, I'm going to say round five or round eight.
Is this when he dropped about 1,000 balls?
Munster stole the ball off him four times during the game. I think they beat us by 40 points. It was one of the most painful games I've ever had to sit through. And he was fucking rattled for weeks. And since then, he's one of the best fullbacks in the comp. And he's the best, one of the best fullbacks in the comp in such a different way to so many different players. Like, you look at Tedesco and Tom Trbojevic, and they're just, you can see that all the traits that they have and all the skill that they have really takes them over the edge. Whereas Dylan Edwards is incredibly smart. Like, the bloke weighs about 69 kilos ring and wet. And he, yeah, look, Cleary is incredible, but the players around him at the moment are something special as well. And they heavily contribute to why Cleary looks so good.
Now, feel good story, man. Jamal Hopgood obviously made his debut. Fantastic to see. Tragic story about him and his old man. But yeah, the Panthers continue to produce good young talent coming through. Mate, the Titans, are they pretenders?
Oh, I mean, it's hard, isn't it? They didn't have that. No Ash Taylor. Not that Ash Taylor's been fantastic, but look, Ash Taylor's better than what they have in the halves at the moment.
I don't know. I think Tanner Boyd's fine over Ash Taylor. He's been fucking shocking.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the options, what I'm getting at, the options aren't great, are they? They're not looking fantastic at all.
They need his contract. They need his contract off the books, don't they?
Oh, for sure. And what they need as well is they need a good hooker. Like, they desperately need a good hooker. Mitch Rain goes out there and busts his ass, but fact is, he's not skilled. He doesn't have a brain for footy like majority of the hookers do at the moment. And you can see it with Tino's game. Like, look at how good Tino was last year when he had Brendan Smith and Cameron Smith. What the way that he was running off the ball, the lines he was running, and it's just gone from his game at the moment. He busts his ass every game, and I feel sorry for him, but he just doesn't get the opportunities handed to him like he did last year.
For anyone that didn't listen to the Park Footy podcast before Joe started coming on, Joe was adamant that Cameron Smith would be playing for the Titans this year. But you speak of a good hooker, mate, with another name of Smith. And do we see the Cheese potentially heading up north?
Oh, I hope so. I hope for Titans fans' sake. I hope they get anybody at this point, mate. I think there's a few hookers floating around. I think a Mitch Kenny as well will probably get a look at, somebody from Penrith. Look, hookers, it's such an important one, isn't it? I think the Bulldogs will be fighting over Cheese as well. And imagine the money he's going to end up getting.
I think you're disrespecting Sione Katoa here. Mate, he looked good on the weekend. He had like three line breaks. He looked okay.
Yeah, and then he like dropped the ball or he do some dumb shit. He just...
The cult hero that is Sione Katoa.
Yeah, look, he's atrocious, isn't he?
Back to the Titans, mate. Look, I think they're struggling with a nine. They're struggling with a good half. As good as Fogarty is, I don't think he's that top tier style of half that's going to get you, I guess, the wins that you need and off the back of Fifita and Tanner and whatnot. I'm happy with their 13. I think Peachy's it's a very fine 13. Brimson's a very fine fullback. But yeah, their spine, I think they're missing two key parts of their spine to be a real challenger. Their forwards, I think, can compete with anyone on their day. You've got Jared Wallace, you've got Tino, you've got Fafita, you've got Kevin Proctor, Peachy as well. But yeah, struggling with a nine, a seven or a six, and then potentially another outside back to partner Brian Kelly as well. I think they're struggling with a genuine outside back threat. If they had the money and he didn't re-sign, someone like Katoni Staggs would have been a fantastic pickup as well. But yeah, look, I think if they make the top eight this year, cool. If not, I don't think it's the end of the world. I think it's definitely a rebuilding year for them. As I said, when they get this Ash Taylor money off the books, I think that'd help them too. But there's one name to talk about here, one name only, Nathan Cleary. Take your hat off, 246 with updates to come. New Supercoach record. Didn't captain him, which is shocking. But, mate, how did you feel about this weekend overall for Supercoach? How did you go?
Yeah, Supercoach, look, I had a bit of a rough one, to be honest. Again, I went into it very confident. I ended up on 1262, and this is before recounts. I captained Isaiah Papali'i, like I touched on, which fucking breaks my heart every single time I say it. He got me 96 with the captaincy. So, look, if I had to put it on someone like a Nathan Cleary, I'd be sitting right up there at the very tippy top. And without it, unfortunately, I am sort of right in the middle there. How about yourself?
Yeah, I was coming into this day. I was looking for a pretty good score. I thought I was going to shoot back up the leaderboard, but finished with a 13-22. I mean, I'll take 1300 every day of the week, but I was leading 9 out of my 10 leagues coming into today, and I'm now leading 3 of them. Score's unofficial. We're recording this at 9:30 on the Sunday, but yeah, I mean, 13-22, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to lose ground, but I definitely won't be making up as much as I thought I would. But yeah, a bit, there's plenty of guys under the captain Pappy as well, which was heartbreaking. But yeah, we live and learn. There will be no episode tomorrow. Joe and I did the longer one tonight because I have plans tomorrow. But yeah, thank you very much, Joe, for coming on. That's going to be the wrap up of Magic Round / Round 10. I'll be back on Tuesday with the Teamless Tuesday fallout. Joe will be back on Wednesday. We'll talk some more shit and go from there. But keep your friends close and keep your pods closer.
And change the rules.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.